Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. Nice to be seen. I've missed you very much. It's been a hectic work summer, shall we say. But here we are. A couple of announcements to go through this morning. Pastor Arnie is away today at the couples retreat. And we're going to be blessed with Pastor Earl Mills here in just a moment. Arnie asked me to remind folks that Worcester Community Hospital visitations, he is permitted to visit, should you or any member of your family be taken to the hospital. But you got to request Pastor Arnie and include his name on your approved visitor list. And there's some other announcements there I'll let you take a look at. And I want to turn now to a very important part of our worship experience, and that being our prayer and praise time. We have a long list of individuals in need of our prayers, and they are printed in bulletin here for you. We have Jeannie Chapman, we have Thomas Collins, Annie Carrig, the Clausing family, Sandra Martin, Becky Moorhead, and Pastor Terry Steinauer. And what's going on with each of those individuals is included there in your bulletin. Kind of really want to get to prayer this morning. There's a lot on my heart. And I think we need to take a little extra time maybe this morning in the prayer area before we start our time of singing and worship. I'd like to start by saying, I'm a firm believer that Jesus Christ is on his way. I'm to the point where I see maybe 2 or 3 minutes of news each night, if that. I can't stand looking at all the chaos. So much downtroddenness. Just plain crazy. Because I don't want to be brought down with that. I refuse. God is a joy giver, and I'd rather tap into that. And I encourage all of you to do the same. The news bothers you, turn it off. It's not changing much. Same event, same individuals involved, and occasionally there's something new, but usually it's something disgusting, pessimistic. And that's not the life I want to live. And I don't think any of us who believe in Jesus Christ want that kind of a life for themselves. So let's be joy givers. Let's receive that joy and let's share it with one another. So I'll get off on a little soapbox now. But we have so much to be praising God for. And so as we turn our attention to prayer, let's be mindful of just how much God loves us. You know, he sent his son for us. You know, he nailed our sins to the cross. We're covered by his blood. That is such great cause to rejoice. And so when we leave here today and every day of the week, you know, let's live like we're in that spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide us in all that we do, all of our thoughts, all of our actions. Let's be a light into a very, very, very dark world, and one's getting darker and darker. Let's show the light, folks, okay? I love you all. So I do very much. So I felt I needed to start off the service this morning by sharing my heart a little bit that way. Now, to our time of prayer. We all know about Haiti, the tragedy going on there with the earthquake. Seems like Haiti sure gets nailed for all kinds of things, hurricanes, earthquakes, diseases. So we really need to be in earnest prayer for them, because there are some Christians there, and they're struggling, and yet they have this joy of the Lord that I'm always so blessed when I hear a Haitian speak, they know whom their God is. And I think that's it's just super. But let's be mindful of that. And of course, recently Afghanistan. Need I say it's a mess? And that's all I'm going to say about it. But again, we have Christians involved. They're in hiding, fearing for their lives. I'm not sure we can share in the suffering and understanding of what it is like to be persecuted like they are. May our country never do that, but we'll see. So let's go to the prayer, shall we please? Our loving Father, first, I want to just thank you and praise you, O God. Praise you for your promise that you'll never leave or forsake us, your children. We thank you, Lord, that you have us in the palm of your hand, under your wings. Your heart is in our heart. And we just want to take a moment just to bless your holy name. Thank you for that relationship, Lord, that has been made possible through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. And Lord, amidst all the chaos swirling around us day in and day out, it is so wonderful to know that we have a rock to stand upon, that you have our every need in your care. Grant to each and every one of us, Lord, the strength to endure, to stand up for you, to be your ambassador in a strange world. People need to see the light. And we can do that. We just ask you, Lord, for the strength, the courage, the patience, the love, the grace and mercy that you have shown us. May that be conveyed to others we come in contact with, especially those we may find a point of contention with. Let love rule. Let us find the things that we have in common with each other and build upon those. Lord, you know there are a number of our fellowship that are experiencing hardships, maybe poor health, or maybe it's financial, maybe, well, you know what they are, Lord. And again, Lord, even before we utter our concerns, you know of them. And we just thank you, Lord, for your constant abiding with each and every one of us. Now, Father, I ask that you will bless Pastor Earl Mills as he shares with us this morning. I'm sure you have laid a wonderful message on his heart. I'm looking forward to hearing it. And Lord, go with each and every one of us this morning. Help us to continue to grow in our love for you. Let us draw closer and closer to you. For that's the only way we're going to be able to navigate this chaotic world, is through you. So we now just praise you and thank you for all that you do, all you will do, all that you have done. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. By the way, I forgot to welcome those who are watching us streamlining this morning. Wasn't trying to ignore you. I apologize. Glad you're with us as well. And I will turn our attention time to worship through song of John, I guess just John. And I'm going to attempt. I've been having vocal cord issues, but I'll give it a shot this morning. Together, Send the Light is our first hymn.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the
blessed gospel light. Send a line from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light.
Blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Let us pray that grace may everywhere be abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels from our crown above. Send the light, send the light,
send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine.
And his love, I love to tell us.
tell the story will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing the new, new song. Till
seated. In fine voice this morning, you all are. Do you want to read your scripture, or you want me to read it? Okay. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. And these are Jesus' words. You are the salt of the earth. If a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. This time we'll have a children's message.
Good morning. So you can probably tell from the songs that we've already sung that today's message is going to probably be about something that I might be holding in my hand. What is this? A light. Well, I thought lights were supposed to give off light. This one's not doing anything. And it's a pretty big one, too. Why is that? It's just the bulb. What do I need? Do I need something else? Oh, okay. So if I put it into this light holder, then it should work, right? It still doesn't work. What's... Oh, there's another thing we've got to do. You think we need some cords? Oh, here. We need some cords, Pastor Earl, to make this work. Can you do that? Okay. So we just listened to scripture that said that we need to be the light. This is how I roll it up. Okay, so anyway, we just read scripture that talked about Jesus telling us that we're the light of the world. But if we're going to be the light of the world, we need to have Jesus in us, don't we? We have to have Jesus in us first or nothing's going to matter. So if we have Jesus in us, then what happens? We've got a really bright light to shine, don't we? A really bright light to shine. But we have to be plugged into Jesus, and Jesus has to be part of us. Now, how can we get Jesus in us? What are some ways we do that? How can we be that light? It is a very bright light. Yes, it is. Can we come to church on Sundays?
Yes.
Is that the only day that we should be thinking about Jesus? No. Should we be reading our Bible on Sundays? Should we be reading our Bible other days? Yeah. Should we be praying more than once a week? Yeah. So we need to realize that Jesus is the light of the world, but he has to be inside us first before we can be light to the world for him. And as we think about that this week, some of you are probably going off to school or preschool or daycare places. Yeah. How are some ways that we can show the light of Jesus to others this week? Be kind. Be very kind. What else?
Share.
Can you make some new friends this week? Yeah. There's a lot of ways that we can be light for Jesus this week to the world. And since the grown-ups are going to get the same kind of lesson today, maybe you can talk about it when you get home today some more too. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you are the light of the world. And now, Lord, you ask us to be that light for you to the world. So just as we go about our daily lives, help us to remember that we need you every day. We need to be reading our Bible and praying, being kind to others, showing others that it's because you live in us that we love others. So, Lord, just help us and guide us and be with us in all that we do and say, for it's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.
Jim and Carol waiting for you out there in the narthex there.
Thank you, Kim. It was great. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce and welcome back to our fellowship a friend of this fellowship, Pastor Earl Mills. And just a reminder, he's the director for the Great Lakes Conference Churches of God, which covers, you know, all of Ohio and Michigan. So he's got not a little chore, so he does it. And one thing I remember about you, Pastor Earl, is you grew up on a dairy farm.
Absolutely.
So, welcome.
Thank you. I brought some props, too. I figure it's not just the kids that get to have fun to see props take place and that kind of thing. It is good to be with you. I love coming to this church and being a part of the worship here and sharing with you. This is the first I've been here. The last time I was here, you were actually working on your sign. So this is the first I've been here since it's been up, and it's been kind of fun to see it and watch it. In fact, we drove slowly by it so we could watch it change a couple times to see what all was happening. But great things are taking place here. It was good to see the sign. This morning, I want to preach to you a message that called Basic Instructions, and you already saw the scripture. Before I get into the scripture, though, I want to share something with you that's really amazing what's happening in the world today. Now, I know there's a lot of negative things that are happening, but there's some positive things happening in the world. Something amazing is happening because thousands of Muslims every year are converting to Christianity around the world. Thousands of Muslims, especially in Northern Africa, various parts of the Middle East, and various parts of Asia. It's actually shocking because Christian missionaries are not allowed into most Muslim countries. So they're not able to spread the message of Jesus Christ, yet there are thousands of Muslims every year that are coming to Christ. Various organizations have taken notice. In August 2018, BBC News had a story entitled Converting from Islam to Christianity, One Man's Story. The man told his story anonymously because of fear of being attacked by Muslims because he had converted. Newsweek magazine had an article in June of 2019 that says this, Why More Muslims Are Turning to Jesus. And it had an article about that. The National Catholic Register in November of 2017 had an article that was titled, Muslims Are Converting to Christianity in Record Numbers. The Pew Research Center said in 2017 there were approximately 23,000 Muslims in the United States that converted to Christianity. Thousands of Muslims in the world every year are converting to Christianity. It's kind of amazing. In 2015, New York Times bestseller, in fact, it made it to number nine on the New York Times bestseller list. It's entitled, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Nabil Qureshi wrote the book and won an award for the best new Christian author that year, the best nonfiction Christian book. He talks about his journey from an intellectual standpoint that he was actually a Muslim seeking to grow closer to Allah, and he became a Christian. I want to encourage you to read it. It's an interesting read. The situation is so shocking that Christianity Today magazine wrote an article titled, Five Reasons Muslims Convert. Let me very quickly mention the four of those top five reasons. Number five, it's because of the biblical teachings on the love of God. Number four, the spiritual truth of the Bible. Number three, dissatisfaction with Islam. Number two, the power of God in answered prayers. Now, I don't want to discount any of those reasons, but the number one reason that Muslims converted to Christianity was given much more than any of the other reasons. The number one reason why Muslims are converting to Christianity is because the lifestyle of Christians seeing a lived faith. Let me quote to you from that article. Former Muslims cited the love that Christians exhibited in their relationships with non-Christians and the treatment of women as equals. It was the lifestyle of individual Christians, neighbors, an aid worker, a co-worker, a friend. In fact, in Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, Qureshi talks about his friend David, who actually told him about Jesus, but more importantly, showed him in his lifestyle what Jesus was like. The reason why Muslims have been converting to Christians in large numbers is because Christians are living their lives in such a way that Muslims say, I want to be like that. You see, Jesus wants us to know that we have a responsibility to bring people to Christ through our lifestyle and how we live. In his very first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, near the beginning, right after he gives the Beatitudes, he gives us a scripture that you heard this morning, and actually you saw it in the children's lesson. And he said, you need to be salt and light. And we're going to talk about that. Now, I started the sermon this morning talking about all of the Muslims that are converting to Christianity. And to be honest, that's not what the sermon's about this morning. I started because I think it's an important illustration. But that's not what the sermon is about. The sermon is about converting people in Worcester, Ohio, to Jesus Christ. The sermon is about you being salt and light to your neighbors and them coming to Jesus Christ. You see, we can make a difference. Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples. And it's amazing that after 3.5 years, Scripture tells us the disciples turned the world upside down. We have an opportunity to change Worcester, to turn Worcester upside down. The sermon this morning is about changing Worcester and beyond. The scripture is a bedrock principle for what it takes to change people around us, being salt and light. Now, let's talk a little bit about being salt and light. Once again, I said I brought some images along. There's two images that Jesus uses, and we can sort of think about those. Light. Now, light is sort of it's a beam that goes out. It's bright, it shines, we can focus it wherever we want to, but it's sort of as a hole that goes out all at once. Now, salt, on the other hand, hopefully I won't spill it. As you see the salt pour, it's all individual crystals. And each one of those individual crystals comes into contact with various things, whether it's food, whether it's preserving meat, whatever it is, each of those individual crystals makes its impact. That's a little bit of what it's like for salt and light that Jesus was telling us. The light goes out as a whole to the world. The salt, each individual person makes a difference. Now let me talk a little bit more about that. Let's start with light. Light is the beacon that goes out. It's interesting that Jesus said in John 8:12, he gave this statement right after he started his ministry. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Yet in Matthew 5:14, he says, "You are the light of the world." So which is it? Is it Jesus being the light, or is it his followers being the light? Well, Jesus sort of explained that to us in John 9:5, because here's what he says. He says, "While I am the world, I am the light of the world." But then when he went back into heaven, he gave that responsibility to us. We are the light of the world. He established his church to be the light of the world. We as the church are the light of the world. And see, the church is two parts. Church is a sort of a body, is a whole, but then it's each individual. So let's look at both parts of that with the salt and light aspect. As the body, you need to be light to Worcester and beyond. And first of all, when I talk about the light as a whole, I'm going to give you a pat on the back. One of the things I love about coming to Worcester, I love about reading and seeing what you're doing, is to see that you are reaching this community in various ways. Every time I come to this church, one of the things I see is your bulletin talks about the ways you're reaching out. Let me give you a length of how you're doing that. You're one of the top supporters of Camp Odiokwa as a church, the Worcester Church. You support them financially. You provide leadership for the board at Camp Odiokwa. You have volunteers from this church that help Camp Odiokwa in all kinds of ways. You send children to camp. In fact, this week, the reason why I'm here is because Arnie's down at Camp Odiokwa being the chaplain for couples camp. You support Camp Odiokwa. Thank you for what you're doing there. You support youth and children in this community. Your pastor is working with the principal at Melrose Elementary School, waiting to hear back to determine how you can best partner with that elementary school in this community. You support Wayne County Young Life. You've allowed the YMCA to use your building. You have a Girl Scout troop that you work with. You support H2O Ministry in Dayton at the university there to give pastoral support to Aaron Kaufman. You've supported campus ministries at the University of Findlay. You've given money to Weinbrenner Seminary. You support a compassion child. You do VBS. You have an Easter egg hunt, trunk or treat. This church collectively or through Sunday school classes, do all of those things. You support ministries in other parts of the world. You support Mountain Vision. It reaches families in Appalachia in all kinds of ways. You do Christmas presents to over 60 children at Christmas time. You have food distribution. You do other things. You work with Global Reach in the Churches of God ministries. You sponsor a sister church in Haiti, the church in Jenin. Every year, you pay $700 for that church to operate and bring people to Christ. You support the school at Jenin. And what's interesting about Haiti is there's not government support for every school. So if there's not organizations that come together and support schools, their children, they don't go to classes. In the community of Jenin, they have a school because you give $2,000 every year to support that school. You've supported Haiti medical students. You've taken mission trips to Kenya, to Haiti, to the Navajo ministries in the Southwest United States. We've been here before. Now, I know you're not doing it since the COVID happened, but we've been here for your dollar offering where you have kids run around the congregation and collect money. And I understand you're going to be starting it up again. And you've helped dig wells, built churches in Bangladesh and India through that ministry. You've supported church planting in the denomination through Hear the Call. You support the local area in many ways. You have a monthly food box distribution where you hand out over 20, you hand out 22 food boxes to those who are homebound or difficult to get out. You have a live nativity every Christmas. Al-Anon meets in your church. You've taught people about finances through Financial Peace. You have the TOPS ministry, Bright Light Players in your facilities. You give food cards, gift cards to those who have various needs in the community. There are all kinds of ways that this church reaches out. You give your fair share every month. I want to give you a pat on the back. That's being light in this community. You should feel good about whenever you write out your check and you give it to the Worcester First Church of God, because this church is being light into this community. Thank you for doing that, continuing to do that. Jesus, when he taught and said, you're to be the light of the world, he was talking to people collectively. But you know, there's something that Jesus had the ability to do. When he preached and taught, he looked into everybody's eye. You could almost get the feeling he's preaching to them individually and directly. He still does it through Scripture. He speaks to us individually. And he's saying, you need to be the light of the world. And he's saying, you need to be the salt of the earth. You need to make a difference to your neighbors, to people you come into contact with, your coworkers. Every day, you need to be salt. Just as each one of those individual crystals touches things, this is for each of us. You're the salt of the earth. Are you being salt of the earth? Now let's talk about how you can be salt of the earth. Now, I could list all kinds of ways that you could be salt of the earth. I could talk about reaching out to that neighbor who's a single mom, trying to help put food on their table, help teach their kids, babysit maybe for them. I could talk about how you, maybe if you have an elderly neighbor, that you can go mow their grass or help them take care of their house. I could talk about taking meals to people who have needs or people who just got home from the hospital. I could talk about all kinds of things. And to be honest, that's probably the easiest way that we can be salt to people. It's just love them in all kinds of ways. But you know, I think Jesus gives a little bit beyond that. In fact, a little bit later on in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, if you have your Bibles and you want to look there, that's fine. Or if you want to just listen, because this is pretty serious stuff. Here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew 5, 21 to 24. And it's just a couple verses after he says, being salt of the earth. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying, just a couple verses, just a few minutes in the same sermon, and basic instructions about how to be salt in life. He says, if you really want to be salt of the earth, quit being angry with people. Stop being angry with people. Stop calling people names. Stop hating people. In fact, this scripture connects anger and hate with murder. He connects anger and hate with murder. The real essence of the commandment says before murder happens, you're angry and you start to hate. And that should not happen. If we want to be salt, we have to do something about anger that's directed at people. You know, one of the sad things about our society today is that we're so divided. We got people that are angry with their brothers and sisters because of political differences, because of economic differences, because of physical differences, cultural differences, all kinds of things. We become so angry with each other that we live in an angry society today. One of the reasons why it's tough to watch the news is because there's so much anger in the news, and then when we watch news, we're angry. You know, there's things that we should be angry about. We should be angry about injustice. We should be angry about immorality. We should be angry about abuse of innocent people that we see so many times happening. We should be angry with all kinds of circumstances. But the problem is we start becoming angry with people. And we think, it's okay if I'm angry with this, you know, it's somebody I don't know. It's a politician or it's somebody that they're talking about on the news. It's easy to be angry with them. That's okay. But you know what happens? It spills over and we become angry with people around us. We become angry with people that believe the same thing. We become angry with people who believe differently than we do. And what happens is we have a society that's angry with each other all the time. I think that's pretty well where America is right now. We're a divided country. We're angry with each other. And if we're going to bring our country together, oh my goodness, we have to do that. We can't continue to be a country that's so divided. Do you know whose responsibility it is? It's the responsibility of us. We're Christians. We should make a difference. We should be the salt and light in this society. It's got to start with us. We got to be careful to make sure that we're angry at circumstances, but that doesn't transfer to angry at people. James, the brother of Jesus, said this about our anger. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. If you let your emotions explode into anger and rage, your life is never going to be the salt that God wants it to be. You can build years of influence and then have it all come down in an instant through a fit of anger. Because, you know, a lot of times the anger turns into hate. And Jesus compared hate with murder. A person who hates his brother or sister has committed murder in their heart. That's pretty strong words. Hate and murder. You know, the sad thing, a lot of especially younger people look at Christians and they say, oh my goodness, they're people who are known for what they hate and not what they love. Scripture tells us that we as Christians should be known for our love But many times we're known for who we hate. We hate whole groups of people. We hate people who are different than us. There's a book that's been written several years ago. It's actually probably 15 years ago now. David Kinnaman wrote a book called Unchristian. And in it, he really talks about why young people are leaving the church as they grow older. And one of the things he says is because they view people in the church as people who hate others. In Unchristian, he quotes a young person, and here's what the young person says. Christians talk about hating sin and loving sinners, but the way they go about things, they might as well call it what it is. They hate the sin and the sinners. There's a song that says, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Kinnaman says they know we're Christians by what we hate. You want to be salt. When you show love to somebody who is different than you, when somebody even that maybe hasn't treated you well, that somebody who actually says mean things, and you show them love, you're being salt. You're being the salt that Jesus talked about in this scripture. Jesus said, if you want to make a difference in the world, if you want to truly follow the basic instructions that he's going to give, be salt and light. Thank you as a church for being a light. You should feel good about what you're doing to change the world. Thank you as individuals for being salt. And if you're not being the salt that you need to be this morning, make a commitment to say, maybe here's the person. Think about the person. I truly do need to be salt to this person or to that person or to somebody that's maybe even kind of difficult to be salt to. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the Worcester First Church of God, for the light it is to so many in this community, the light to so many young people, the light to people around the world that they are because of what they give and what they do. Help this church to always want to do that even better and to expand that ministry that they have by being light to the world. Father God, help us as individuals to hear this scripture this morning and recognize what it means to us personally, what it means for us to be salt. Point out individuals in our lives that we need to be salt to today and in the days ahead. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Earl. Very timely message, much needed. Invite you now to stand in our closing hymn. We've a story to tell the nations.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy,
a story of peace
and light. A story of peace and light, for the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts. us to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword.
For the darkness
shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning. Dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, a kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world's great come to the truth of God. My, come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love.
You know, I started the sermon by telling about all those articles that are being written about, oh, wow, it's wonderful to see all these Muslims who are turning to Christ. Wouldn't it be great if the Worcester paper could write an article saying, many people who are not Christians are turning to Christ all over Worcester. And now, may the grace of God, may His peace and His direction go with us as we leave this place and take the message of Christ to those around us. Amen.